In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I have to confess, I'm not sure that I believe in the war on Christmas. For one, Southeast North Dakota is probably behind the times, and our public school choirs still sing classic works with Christian texts all the time. Christmas plays are common, and they're called that. I hear plenty of people wishing me Merry Christmas, and even when I don't wear my clerical collar. It is true, though, that red-nosed reindeer and roasting chestnuts and mournful laments about giving my heart to the wrong person last Christmas vastly outnumber even the weakest of the truly Christian carols on the 25-day, 24-hour stations. Yeah, political correctness certainly keeps the religiously neutral Christmas elements in the forefront. I suppose that's a mild attack of sorts on Christianity and Christmas. But you know, I'm much more offended by the friendly fire if there is a war. I'm really thankful that, even though it was pretty slippery, we didn't have to cancel today due to weather. If we had, it would have put us on the very same footing with so many churches that have had their services canceled for Christmas Day already weeks ago. Protestants always prove, it seems, to be far more Roman Catholic than they would ever want to admit. They don't know what to do with this idea of having church 2 days in a row. So what do you do? What in the world will we do if Christmas Day happens to fall on a Sunday? Well, what if I go on Saturday night? Does that mean I'll fulfill my obligation? That's a good Catholic understanding. As if we come to church because it's an obligation. Most hurtful of all to me is the friendly fire that comes from ministers themselves. Wolves in sheep clothing indeed, who've taken the arguments of the weakest brothers as their platform of pastoral authority. Christmas Day is a family day. So I'm going to take the day off and we won't have services. Boy, comforting to know, isn't it, that your pastor wouldn't go to church if it weren't his job to go? Honestly, if going to church with your family is going to ruin your marriage or make your children hate you, then I don't think that your problem is overwork. No, there's certainly some kind of battle waging, but the war, if there is one, is not against Christmas. If we had to, we certainly could do without Christmas. But no, the war is against Christ. We can't do without Him. And this war against the Christ isn't a new one. It didn't begin after the 1950s. It isn't waged so much on the airwaves or on red or green disposable coffee cups or outside the courthouse. No, it's waged in the human heart. He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not overcome Him. But you know, implied right there is that it certainly tried to overcome Him, and still does. Those of the darkness hide when the light comes out, like cockroaches when you turn on the kitchen light. John 1 knows that the real war is the battle between belief and unbelief. And that war is always going to manifest itself here and there with words and with actions. But if you believe that banning public nativity scenes or pastors canceling church for their own benefit, if you think those things are bad, let us not forget what happens in the Gospels after Christmas Day. Don't forget Herod and the holy innocents and the weeping mothers in Ramah. Now, I know today many people are uncomfortable whenever they hear round yon virgin or God and sinners reconciled. And I think they're relieved when instead they hear bells on bobtail ring. I do feel bad that Parson Brown is so feared in his neighborhood that couples would rather resort to a snowman than to face him. But the point is this: nobody has really forgotten the reason for the season. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. You can't get around it. If you X out his name, you've only written his initial. And worse, you may have reminded us all that his cross is actually the real focus. If Jesus Christ is the Son of God, well, then that means that he matters. And everyone who is faced with Christmas knows that. No matter how cheap or how plastic or how commercial, they're reminded of it. Is it any surprise that many do want to escape from Christmas? They're trying to escape him. Christmas would be a lot more fun if the world did not have to face the person of Jesus. Simeon, a couple weeks from now, after he sang the Nunc Dimittis, holding the baby Jesus in the temple, he told Mary that this child was going to be a stone of stumbling and an obstacle to many, offensive. He would, to say the least, make people feel uncomfortable. He still does. Sadly, he seems to make Christians feel uncomfortable also. Now, I can understand Christians who think there's a war afoot, who are tired of Santa Claus or of Rudolph or of eggnog or present buying. What I can't understand, though, is Christians being tired of hearing the gospel, tired of singing Christ's praise, and tired, even 2 days in a row, of celebrating the reason for the season. After all, I thought that was the rallying cry of this war. Nothing new, though, dear saints. As we'll hear in just a few Fridays, the priests and the scribes who knew about Bethlehem, who told the wise men where they needed to go, they didn't care enough to worship him either. What can we say? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But thanks be to God, the Holy Spirit has brought you to receive him. Why else would you be here, cold and ice be damned? It's because you know that Christmas Day is justified and justifies itself in the gospel which is read today, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The one in whom we have the right to become the children of God, and so we are. The eternal Word, begotten from eternity with the Father and one with the Father, he is born a man for us. And God's light shines and cuts through the darkness, whatever darkness you have. And you have seen that light. And you rejoice. If there is a war at all, dear saints, then the ultimate weapon in this war is what is offered here today. The ultimate bombshell of Christmas, the Holy Communion. If the world hates to see the word Christ in Christmas because they know what that means, well then, just imagine if they knew what the Mass stood for. Stands for the Mass, that old nondescript word for the divine service. It is one thing, I suppose, to sing songs and hear them on the radio about God become a man for us, that defining event in history that makes its claim on everyone. But it is something of an entirely more amazing sort to eat the body and to drink the blood of God. That, though, is how we remember the Word made flesh. We receive Him. And to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, born not of bloodlines, not of the fleeting desires of the flesh or of some man's desire, but born of God. Now, you're free to disagree with me if you think that there really is a war on Christmas. Certainly, there is a war on Christ. And we as Christians acknowledge that it's a war raging within our own flesh too. I do believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel that the Word is made flesh and dwelt among us. And He enlightens our darkness with His gifts to sanctify and to keep us in this true faith. And so the weapons of the war are found here for you today. The gospel, which proclaims the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the true and full deity dwelling bodily in the womb of Mary and now lying in a manger. But now also the sacrament of the altar, which is the incarnation present for us today. Christ fights back, and He fights back not against the food court DJs or the Walmart thought police, but He fights back against our sins, against the devil's power over this world, and against even death itself. The God who dwelt bodily among us now is bodily present in His supper for the forgiveness of your sins. Here we may eat and drink in the real Christmas. This is the reason for the season. This is the reason for this day and really for every Sunday service, to be truthful. It is to hear the Word made flesh proclaimed again to us and to have the Word made flesh placed into our mouths. It's exactly what lazy or bored pastors and their dysfunctional families need. It's also what tired or lonely or grieving or fearful or afflicted sinners need too. And it certainly is what keeps Christ in Christmas for you. In Jesus Christ, the eternal and now incarnate Word is life. And this life is the light of men. His light shines in the darkness. And have no fear, Christmas warriors. No darkness can overcome Him, nor can it overcome you who are in Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Merry Christmas.